word of prayer, and then we'll get into some works of God testimonies and get into our lesson. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us today. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for all the little things, and thank you for how you bless us day by day. We just pray as we talk about you today and what you've done for us that we'll give you all the honor and glory and thankfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, works of God. How's God been working in your life this week? Or it doesn't have to be this week. How's he been working in your life, period? Anyone? If you don't have anything, that's okay. We'll come back to it again next week. Ben? Oh, great. Praise the Lord. You just start a new job, new adventure. Anyone else? Margaret. Crops being able to be planted. I was talking to Wayne this morning. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like we prayed for rain last year. Well, the Lord came through. It's just his timing, you know. So, plenty of rain. I'm hoping to get my garden in this week. So it's sitting inside the garage right now. So hopefully we'll get her in the ground. So anyone else? My wife. Yes, Kay. She's thrilled, and I'm thrilled that I'm done proofreading and correcting her English. You don't realize how much English correction I get to do. All right. Anything else? I can praise the Lord. Dan's back. So, works of God. Works of God. So I can praise the Lord. Dan's back. Haven't seen him for, probably a month or more. So that's great. Yes. So both loads at once, and hopefully you don't check into one and check out the other or something like that. All right, Pine Haven and Malto Meal. So that's a dual job there. Anyone else? I don't want to cut anybody off. Ashley. What? School's almost over with. All right. Dan, do you have something?
Are these prayer requests?
Well, we knew prayer requests. I've already prayed, but... praying for other people and, Christians and non-Christians alike, you know, but how the Lord pricks your heart and you just pray for them. And we'll talk a little bit about that today in the lesson, so, and that's a good starter there. Anyone else? All right, well, we started last week off with soteriology, and if my computer will wake up there you go, the study of salvation. We talked to it. Kind of started off with your doctrine will determine how you live. And we've been talking about a lot of different doctrines in the systematic theology here, but I think more than any other doctrine, the doctrine of soteriology really determines how you live as far as how we think of as far as salvation, how we think other people are saved, really kind of determines how we act and how we live. So we start off with the talking about common grace, and that's where we're going to continue this week. God's goodness to all mankind, it's the undeserved blessings that God gives to all people, both believers and unbelievers. And if you weren't here last week, I do have the notes. They're also online. But if you need some notes, if you don't have yours from last week, I have a few copies here that you're welcome to have and to take with you. But when we talk about common grace and saving grace, we're not implying that God imparts two different kinds of grace. Common grace and saving grace, they aren't two different kinds of grace. God has grace, but he has two different ways that he imparts his grace. He manifests it to the world two different ways. So common grace, it's different here. Common grace from saving grace, the result is innumerable blessings. He imparts that to the recipient, unbelievers and believers alike. And of course, this source is God the Father. So when we're talking about common grace, him imparting it, sometimes we say, well, is it really fair that an unsaved person gets this type of blessing? Well, we're talking about that here, and we're going to kind of review some of what we talked about last week. But why does God give blessings to the unsaved as well as the saved? Well, we'll talk about many different ways and the reasons why. So common grace, and I think the lesson for us today that I hope that you will take from the lesson is that we have permission and we're encouraged, or we have the encouragement to be thankful. Thankful for everything that happens, whether it's to the saved or unsaved, we need to be thinking all about our thankfulness. We talked last week and we started about the physical realm. We had a few verses here. We talked on Matthew 5, 44 and 45. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. Pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And he's not showing favorites this year. You know, he sends the rain no matter who you are. So, and then Acts 14, 17, yet he has not left himself without a testimony. Word of the testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. So last week, and Margaret talked about it in the Works of God testimonies, you know, as far as common grace to believers and unbelievers, it's all around us. You know, we talk about life. He gives that to the saved and the unsaved, breath, health, rain, and fruitful seasons. We're fruitful right now with rain, but the crops will come. You know, they'll come in their season. You know, we be thankful about nature, the trees, the flowers, the vegetables, fruit, mountains and lakes and sky, and all that there is for us to enjoy. It's not for just the believers, it's also for the unbelievers. So then we looked at Genesis 39:5. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, God blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. You know, and a lot of times that we're blessing other folks because that we're in their lives. And, you know, gives us an opportunity to pray for them. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all he has made. And the application here, Doug mentioned in our kind of discussion time, and Joel, the application of redemption is our stewardship. You know, being a steward of telling others about Christ. You know, it's a responsibility that we have. And and God is good all the time. I mean, no matter if we're going through good times, bad times, he's good all the time. You know, we may not have things the way we want them. They may not be going smoothly like we'd like them to do, but God's good. He has a reason and a purpose for everything he does, and we may not feel like it's the best, but do we praise him and give him thanks for what he's doing in our lives, even through those hard times? And Joel pointed out, we do not praise him enough through the trials to affirm to others God's goodness and grace, even in those difficult times. You know, it's great stuff that we have the ability to praise God even through the difficult times. You know, we've been married 25 years this month. We're in June, by the way. And I think back 25 years ago, my mother-in-law was fighting cancer. But yet, you never heard a bad thing about it. You know, she praised the Lord for everything that she had. And she lived for others, you know. She is quite an example, you know. The intellectual realm, we talked about this also last week. He was a true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. We have the intellectual realm that God gives to both the saved and the unsaved, the access to science and technology. And the grasp of truth is there. Whether they believe in God or not, the truth is there. But the discoveries and the inventions, the cure for diseases and the advances in medicine and technology are prevalent. Whether they're saved people or not, God uses them for these purposes. He advances medicine, you know, as far as computers and all that. A lot of people that do these things aren't saved. But yet God imparts and gives them common grace. Over 90% of non-Christians have a knowledge of God. You know, we talk about atheists, well, they believe in something, but you know, they say they don't believe in God. But 90% believe in God, but many times they don't honor him or they distort the view of who God is. You know, whether they're believing in the one true God or not, they believe in a God. You know, there's a supreme being, there's a higher power. But this gives us a platform to witness how God uses events and things in our lives. It gives us a platform to witness to other people to tell them how good God is through the good times and the bad times. Does it encourage us to be thankful? Well, it should. It should. You know, so many times we think about thankfulness that we should, it's just one, Thanksgiving is just one day a year. But yet we should be thankful throughout the year. And we shouldn't be shy about telling other people how great he is and what he's doing for us. Margaret mentioned to me after class last week about popcorn testimonies. You know, popcorn testimonies. You just, you know, pop out a testimony, how God's blessed you, how God's working your life. You know, if you have to think about it, then there's more to think about. You know, it may take you a minute or so to find out how God's, think about what God's doing in your life. But so often, he's blessing us. We just don't think about it enough. We don't tell other people about it enough. You know, if something great happens in your life, boy, many times you're just always talking about how great that is. You know, boy, this is just awesome. You know, I just won $100, you know, whatever. I don't know what it could be. But what about those tough times? You know, well, I remember that my tractor broke down, you know. God can bless me through those hard times. Got to get it fixed. But yet there's opportunity that God brings people into our lives to tell others about him. You know, maybe something happens. Your car breaks down or you have trouble with your air conditioner or something like that. God will bring people into your lives. What do you do with those opportunities? Dan was talking about how he just thought about these people and could have a time to pray for them. People pop into my head all the time and it gives me an opportunity to pray for them. You know, he's been gone for quite a few weeks. That doesn't mean I didn't think about him and pray for him. You know, there are people I think about all the time. Thinking about Grant this week, you know, so I prayed for him and others. I mean, I don't just need to point out one or two people, but think about people, pray for them. So then we go into the next aspect is the moral realm, the warnings against final judgment. And we have several verses here. Psalm 81:12. So he gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. You know, the world has a moral. They may not be the same morals as we have, but they have a sense of right and wrong. You know, if we were to say, well, they aren't as moral as we are, yet they have a standard. They feel like there's, you know, some things that you just plain shouldn't do. You know, there's a right and wrong. If you were talking to a demon, well, you know, there's no right or wrong. It's just evil. So God has set them, and they walk in their own counsels. You know, I remember growing up, my dad would say, let your conscience be your guide. Well, that's good to a point if you have a good conscience. You know, if you have good morals. But yet, he was trying to impart upon me that he's instilled in me the right morals so that when I think of something, my conscience will dictate whether it's right or wrong because he's given me the foundation, the cornerstone upon which I've built my faith. So many times, people don't have that cornerstone, the foundation for their faith. So their morals aren't like our morals, or their religion for that matter. Romans 1:32, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do the very things, but also approve of those who practice them. You know, many times, you know, the group that you're around, you associate with, they're probably the same group that has the same kind of morals. You know, I hang around the people at church. They have the same kind of morals, same kind of standards that I do. But you think about the people at the bar. Well, the reason why they're hanging around each other is they have the same kind of morals, the same kind of standards. It doesn't matter Christian or non-Christian. There's that common grace that he's imparting to those. And he's giving them blessing. And, you know, the Lord may bless them and gives them something to talk about. Whether they give God the credit or not, that's not necessarily the point here, but it's common grace. Luke 6:33, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. So many times people are told that, you know, their works is what's going to do it. Oh, he's a good person. He lives a good moral life. And a lot of times God uses good moral people to bless us in our lives. That doesn't get them any closer to salvation than me helping a little old lady across the street. You know, it doesn't matter. But God uses those people. God restrains each of us through our conscience. Are non-believers as evil as they could be? No. You know, they could be much more evil than they are. But they have a sense of right and wrong. Good standards, good moral standards, we have a lot of different terminology that we think about. You know, honesty is the best policy. What goes around comes around. God helps those who help themselves. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Will be beneficial to all concerned. You know, a lot of people that aren't saved go by a lot of different mottos or rights to live by. Does that make them any more saved? No. Does it make them any more lost? No. Sinner, non-sinner alike, we're all depraved. We're all sinners. But yet, the difference between the common grace and the saving grace is that we've accepted Christ as our Savior. But God still imparts common grace to those, but there's a moral a realm. The poor morals or poor standards, if people give themselves over to sin, they see the harmful effects. You think about drunkenness. Well, deterioration of the liver, on and on the deterioration can go. Breaking the speed limit, you could be arrested. I mean, does that necessarily happen? No, I haven't been pulled over for speeding, even though I've done it from time to time. You know, it's kind of like I haven't been spanked when I've done wrong, but yet there are times that I was spanked when I didn't feel like I should have been spanked, you know, that kind of thing. But the speed limit, you know, if you speed enough or speed over excessively, you could be or will be arrested. Stealing. If you steal, eventually you'll be found out. And lying. Well, if you lie enough, people aren't going to trust you. And see, if you lie to an unsaved person, that's even worse. You know, they don't see many times that, you know, lying it's okay for them. But if you lie to them, oh boy, look out. You know, it's that kind of double standard. But yet at the same time, they have a standard. They have a moral. And we need to show Christ through all the good that happens and all the bad. The creative realm. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, there's a lot of creative things that God bestows. His grace allows skills and beauty and creativity in multiple areas. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not, God still imparts that to us. You know, the music, you know, all the musicians that are out there, not all of them are saved, but we can still enjoy that beautiful music that they can play. Literature, you know, people write books. And I don't know if what books you read, but I can pretty much tell you that not all the books that you read are written by Christians. The ballet, you know, all the prima ballerinas. You know, I knew one years ago, you know, in my life as a bachelor, you know, she's a, and I don't know what they saw in ballet, but, you know, it was interesting to watch, but it wasn't for me, you know. I'm a farm boy, you know. But there's beauty in it, and a lot of people enjoy the ballet. A lot of people have talent in home decorating. You know, some people are good at putting up a nail on a wall and just hanging something from it. Other people make beauty out of their design. Or woodworking, or on and on our list can go. I mean, I enjoy woodworking, but there are some people that I've seen the woodworking they do, and it's just immaculate. It's awesome. You know, could I do it? Well, probably with some work, but God's imparted those skills and that grace to them that we can enjoy those things. I remember we were on vacation in Hawaii. You know, we used to go there all the time. The benefit my wife had of working in cardiology. And we would go to the town of Lahaina. And just walking down the streets of Lahaina, you can go into one shop, and there's a gallery there. And you go out the gallery, down another few doors, and there's another gallery. And we could enjoy just looking at art, you know. A lot of it is of that particular area, you know, the ocean scenes and the palm trees. But yeah, it's awesome how people have captured those things on canvas. Are they saved? I don't know. But God imparts that common grace to them. The society or societal realm, you know, family, government, and other institutions. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. The common grace to the family, the common grace to government. Every soul will be subject to the governing authority. How does he do that? Well, our families, you know, so many times, and I talked about us being married almost 25 years here in a few weeks, but God imparts to families happy, long-term, monogamous relationships. That's the grace he imparts. So many times we talk about the divorce rate and how single-parent homes and that kind of thing. But God imparts grace to us that can have a stable family life, a mom and a dad, and those types of moral standards that they should impart. Now, that doesn't mean they're the same as ours, but it's a common grace that he's given for families. You know, the things are changing so much in this world, and it makes me want to pray even more for families because of how the deterioration of the family has gone, especially the last couple weeks here with Minnesota. You know, the homosexuality and making it legal, you know, to marry. Sometimes I just don't understand what people are thinking. But it has to do with the moral realm and how the things are deteriorating. God has a purpose and a plan. And it gives us even more reason to be thankful for what we have and be even more thankful to tell others about Christ and to be a witness and stand for what is right. Government. God uses government to help restrain folks from doing wrong. You know, we have the police. We have the city governments, and they have rules and regulations and guidelines that you need to abide by. You know, we have the police that, you know, if we didn't have the police around, you know, people would be getting away with murder, you know. They're a restraint to the saved and the unsaved alike. Keeps us from doing what we probably shouldn't be doing. And yet we have city government. They help control things with building codes. You know, some people are better builders than others. And so, you know, if we ask some people to build something, it could probably fall down with some of the winds we've been having. So it's important that we have those government officials and those types of things. And other institutions God uses. God uses them in our life. You know, education, teachers. Not all the teachers that I've had have been saved. But yet God's used them in my life. Volunteer organizations. You know, there's a lot of volunteer organizations that you can work with. I work with several. And not everybody that I work with in those organizations are saved, but God uses those to help and benefit people. Caring for the needy. There's a lot of times that people have needs, and we need to take care of those, and there are organizations that help with that, and businesses that help support, and maybe the business that you work for, you can't say that they're all Christians. You know, other people work in an organization that, yeah, the people they work with are Christians. But yet God uses these things as an instrument of common grace that he bestows these types of blessings to us. You know, I'm thankful for a job. The religious realm. We'll just look at this first verse, Matthew 5, 44 and 45. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Well, there's a whole message in that whole verse right there as far as loving your neighbors, loving your enemies, loving those that are the unlovable, if you want to say it that way. You know, do you care about them? You know, you may not like them, but do you pray for them? Do you actually strive to make friendships with them? And they may not want that friendship, but you need to work at it. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and send rain on the just and the unjust. First Timothy 4:10, for this is the end. We both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. He gives us great hope and great promise that we need to tell others about the great hope we have. We many times talk about people that die without hope. But yet we have a hope that we need to tell others about. Pray for non-Christians. And there are a lot of people that I pray for that aren't Christians. You know, I may not sit down and tell them the Romans Road. But I use my testimony and use the experiences of my life to praise God and tell them about a Christ who is a life changer. Talk about foxhole prayers. That may not be a familiar term to you, but foxhole prayers are those prayers where you're going through a trial or trouble and you need the Lord right that minute. You think about the airplane pilots in World War II, you know, how they're being bombed and they pray that the Lord will deliver them out of that situation. Is that salvation? No. The Lord has imparted that grace to deliver them out of that situation of being, you know, attacked in that plane. That's what we call foxhole prayer, you know, where they're in the actual foxhole, mortars flying around them, and they pray for the Lord to deliver them. My grandmother, after my grandfather died in 1999, she remarried a guy from country school. You know, here she is in her 80s, and she remarried a guy from who she knew back in the country school back in Iowa. And they got married, and, you know, Harold, talking to him, you know, we witnessed him for years, but talking to him as far as his salvation was he was in that bomber, and he prayed for the Lord to deliver him, and that was his salvation experience. The Lord delivered him. He saved him from being killed. It's not the same. And we tried to tell him. And he died here a few years ago, had Alzheimer's, and just his mind just was gone. But, you know, throughout the time that, you know, my grandmother was married to him, it was that witness that we continually brought before him, that it's not that God can save you only from those hard times when you need Him most, but He can save and change your life and be Lord of your life. God hears our prayers. He hears the prayers of the saved and the unsaved. Many times they pray for the Lord to do something in their life. They don't maybe pray to the Lord God of heaven. They pray to whoever their God is. But the Lord answers their prayer. Why does He answer the prayer of that unsaved person? Common grace. I don't have a reason why. It's common grace. God gives it to them whether they deserve it or not. And it helps to impart the fact that God loves them. It helps us to proclaim the gospel, and it's evidence of God's goodness to all. Common grace and special graces influence each other. Common grace, such as Christian influences in history, we think about how the Christian influences in the United States helped abolish slavery. How it was wrong. Now, does that mean everybody that helped in that were Christians? No. But Christianity had a part in that, in abolishing. So common grace and the special grace influence each other. They make things change in this world. Reading the Bible was prevalent in the early days. That was the importance of knowing the Lord, and to read the Bible was the thing to do. But in doing that, it helped spur literacy. You know, teaching people how to read. Well, what books did you have? Well, the most common book was the Bible. To read that. The church benefits from Christian and non-Christian alike in the fact that we, in our taxes that we pay as a church, a nonprofit. The lights being on, the people that run the power station, that I don't know that they're saved, do you? But yet, God gives us grace to have lights, to have heat, to have power. The freedom that we have to assemble. Not all of our Congress people are saved, but yet we still have the rights to freedom to assemble. Common grace does not save people. And throughout this whole talk as far as common grace, I think the most important here is that even though God imparts common grace to us, it doesn't save. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, we're sinners. Jesus said unto him, you who love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, with all your mind. And Romans 2:4, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, and not the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So many times, the common grace that God gives, the reason he's giving it, I'm sure, is to lead them to a saving knowledge of him. They don't see their need of salvation. Many times, I'm sure God's blessed a lot of people. You think about the millionaires that are out there, the people that have money. Do you think they really think they need the Lord? The Lord's blessed them with wealth. Many times they feel like they don't need it. I mean, the Lord's blessed them, even though they don't want to give him the credit for it, the Lord's blessed him. They don't see their need for salvation. But yet God's imparted those things to bring them to know that God has a purpose and a plan. He doesn't change the human heart. Common grace doesn't change the human heart. Common grace can help us to show them what salvation is all about. But yet common grace doesn't change the heart. It can't bring a person to repentance and faith. It can maybe influence their ideas. You know, God's blessed them. Why did he do that? Well, it's maybe to point them to Christ. Maybe help us to be a better witness of him. Your actions can't meet God's approval. It doesn't matter what they do, how hard they do it, how good they are, nothing they can do can meet God's approval for them to have salvation. It's nothing they can do in and of themselves. So no matter how much common grace you receive, it does not make you right with God or make you happy. There are a lot of miserable people out there that have blessings, but it doesn't make them any more happy because they're without Christ. We have permission to be thankful. And common grace should be an encouragement for us to be thankful. We're going to end up where we're going to finish this up next week as far as the reasons for common grace and so on. But let's talk about what we've had so far in these aspects of the different realms of common grace and how that should influence us and help us to be more thankful. What do you have? Thoughts you have. We had some great thoughts last week. It helps me to know that there are many times that I don't do all I should do as far as in this realm of common grace where I need to be thankful and give the Lord the praise. It's Him. What about you? Joel. As far as how whether God bestows the same amount of common grace to all, I think we could pretty much say that that's probably not the case. God doesn't give us the millions of dollars that He may give someone else, but He does give us benefits. And the degree that He gives common grace, I don't think there is. It's God. I don't think there's anything that's set in stone that says, well, God's going to give more grace to this person because they need it more. God imparts His grace to whom He will. It's the same thing is said about as far as salvation. God wants everyone to be saved. Does that mean everyone will be saved? No. But that's the ultimate, is that God wants us to be saved. God wants to accept us to accept Him. But does that mean it's going to happen? No. So there's varying degrees of saving grace, too, as far as whether people accept Christ or not. As far as the degree of you're saved or not, no, we're saved. But I believe that, God has a purpose and a plan. And we need to work that purpose and plan through us to others. There's a reason why He's brought those people into our lives, so we need to tell others about Him. Someone else. And I don't have all the answers. I could be wrong. I could be way off at left field. Grant. Correct. All mankind's recipient of common grace. That's a good point. Right. And, you know, as far as the degree of common grace, how much he gives, God's given it to us for a reason. Yeah, it's sufficient. That's good. It's a good word for us to use for that. His grace is all sufficient. So, yeah, Dan. Their common grace, I think the level they have as far as common grace is they see only the good and not the bad as being for their good. And trying to show them that God's brought that into their lives, those bad things, to really point them to him. Until they actually have him in their life, they won't realize that. But yet, we need to help point them that way and use our grace, the saving grace that God's given us, to point them to Christ. So, but yeah, the unsaved, it's our task, it's our goal, and that's what we're talking about here in our doctrine of salvation. You know, what is salvation all about? And we have to start here with common grace and then go on from there. So, but God imparts that grace to all. So it's time to go, and we'll let you go, and we'll pick up with this. We'll finish it up next week, so, and then go on. So thank you so much.